Money with Menaces by Patrick Hamilton, with Stephen Thorne as Andrew Carruthers and David Collings as Mr. Poland.
Come in, come in.
Good afternoon, Mr. McPherson.
Good afternoon, Miss Roth. What can I be doing for you, Miss Roth?
Oh, I just brought the minute to this Strickland business. I thought perhaps Mr. Carruthers was in.
Aye, thank you, Miss Roth. He'll be here any minute now. It's nearly 2:30.
Is the weather hot enough for you, Mr. McPherson?
Yes, it's intolerable, isn't it?
I wonder you don't shut these windows.
Shut them? There's no air as it is.
All the same, you'd find it cooler.
Ah, here is Mr. Carruthers.
Good afternoon, Miss Roth. Hello, McPherson. Hot enough for you?
Yes, sir. Miss Roth's just been saying it'd be better if we had the windows shut. Did you ever hear such a notion?
Oh. Well, she may be right. I think we'll keep them open for all that.
Oh, we've got those Strickland minutes, Mr. Carruthers. I put them on your desk there. There's nothing else you want, is there?
No, thank you, Miss Roth. Now, where are we, McPherson? I've got to be over at the Townsend meeting at 5:00, and I still haven't a notion what I'm going to say.
There's nothing very formidable, sir. You're seeing Mr. Raglan at 3:30, and Sir Philip will be here at 4:00. Then Mr. Joyce phoned up and seems fairly amenable, and so we're writing to him. Oh, yes, and then Mr. Poland phoned up, sir, and said he'd call up again sometime before 3:00.
Mr. who?
Mr. Poland, sir.
Who's Mr. Poland?
Well, sir, I don't know exactly, sir. I thought you would know. He said it was about your daughter, sir.
About my daughter?
Yes, sir. Mr. Poland, sir.
Well, never heard of him.
Is that a fact, sir? He seemed to know you, sir. He said it was about your daughter, and I got the notion he was a doctor or something.
Oh, how very mysterious. Well, never mind. Send Raglan in, Director, he comes, won't you? And now you'd better leave me alone while I wade through all this Strickland stuff.
Yes, sir.
Wake up, you sleepy hand. Get up. Hello?
Miss Moyna Carruthers wants to speak to you, sir.
Miss Carruthers? Oh, all right. Put her through.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is that you, Andy?
Yes.
Have you just got back from Manchester?
Yes.
You don't sound very friendly and brother-like.
Oh, I know I don't. I'm busy, Moyna. What do you want?
I want to know whether you and Ada are coming round to dinner tomorrow.
Of course we are. We said we were, didn't we?
Yes, but I just wondered.
I have a marvellous sister. Is that all? If it is, maybe you'll allow me to ring off, may I?
All right. But I do wish you'd stop being the great busy press magnate all the time. It's getting a habit.
Goodbye, Moyna, my dear. 7:00 on Friday.
How's little Jennifer?
Fine, thanks. Goodbye. Hello?
Mr. Poland to speak to you, sir.
Who?
Mr. Poland.
Oh, yes. Put him through. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is that Mr. Poland?
Yes, this is Mr. Poland. Who is that?
This is Andrew Carruthers speaking. Andrew Carruthers.
Ah. Good afternoon, Mr. Carruthers.
Good afternoon, Mr. Poland. I'm afraid I don't actually know what the...
Don't actually what?
Don't actually know your name. I got the impression...
My name is Poland.
Yes, I know that. I mean, I don't know exactly what you want.
Oh, didn't they tell you?
No. Well, except that...
Yes, I rather thought so. What did they say?
If you'll excuse my saying so, Mr. Poland, I don't altogether like your tone.
I wouldn't bother about my tone, Mr. Carruthers. What did they say?
You'll forgive me for repeating the same thing twice, Mr. Poland, whoever you are, but I still don't like your tone.
You are going to like my tone still less, Mr. Carruthers, by the time I've finished with you. In the meantime, we'd better stick to the point. What did they say about me?
They said you'd rung up about my daughter, if you must have it. Now, see here, what is this? Is this a joke? I'm a busy man. Will you tell me your business?
It's a rather serious business, Mr. Carruthers, I'm afraid. Serious for you, that is.
Look here, will you have the goodness to explain yourself? If you want me to listen to you, I'm in a hurry.
Oh, this is much too serious a matter to take in a hurry. We have plenty of time.
Well, you may have. I haven't.
I repeat, we have plenty of time, Mr. Carruthers. And when you have ascertained the exact seriousness of the situation, I think you will appreciate that.
Look here, I presume you're a mental case of some sort. Who are you, Mr. Poland? Where do you come from?
Well, my name is supposed to be Poland, but as you are no doubt beginning to gather, that is merely a nom de plume, or pseudonym. Which would you say? Or would nom de guerre be better? Yes, nom de guerre.
Now, listen, you, whoever you are. I don't know what sort of practical joke you're playing, but it's not funny, and I've been on this phone long enough. I'm now going to give you exactly 60 seconds, 1 minute, in which you may state your business, if any. Now, I've started counting already.
That is very obliging of you, Mr. Carruthers, but if you will look into your innermost soul at this moment, you will find that nothing on earth would induce you to ring me off. You are thoroughly disquieted, and you know it.
May I ask if by any chance you're trying to intimidate me?
Yes, you may very well ask that, and I will give you the answer. The answer is yes. I have something to tell you in a moment which would intimidate anyone.
And may I ask what should prevent me from ringing off?
Because you have been clever enough to realize that that would be of no avail, and that I am somebody to be reckoned with, or perhaps I should say we.
Oh, there's more than one of you, is there?
Yes, there is more than one of us.
And why should I think you anyone to be reckoned with?
Well, after all, I do seem to know something about your private life, don't I?
What do you know about my private life?
Well, I know that you have a daughter, to begin with, don't I?
Well?
And I know that she is just past 11 years of age, and I know that she has fair hair and grey eyes, and quite a pronounced little scar in the shape of a horseshoe on her left cheek. And I know that her name is Jennifer, and I know, why, I even know what she is dressed in at the moment.
Oh, do you? What?
A blue linen dress with a white collar, a brown sash, white socks, and brown sandal shoes. It sounds like a fashion article, doesn't it? Will that do?
Look here. Will you have the goodness to tell me what all this means? What do you want with me?
What do I want? Well, that's more reasonable. I want to know, Mr. Carruthers, whether I can interest you in giving me some money.
So, this is just common blackmail of some sort, is it?
No, by no means common, and something of a rather more startling nature than ordinary blackmail, believe me.
Now listen to me, Mr. Whoever you are. You may know something about my daughter, but if you know anything about me, you would know that I'm not the sort of man who would allow himself to be blackmailed by any sort of means whatsoever.
Oh, not by means of the little girl we have been talking about, for instance?
How can you blackmail me through a child of 11? Has she been embezzling her school funds or something?
I wouldn't try to be funny, Carruthers. This is not a fitting moment.
No, but I'm really interested. Do tell me.
Mr. Carruthers, are you kept at all au fait with the workings of your household? Husbands usually are.
I think I'm fairly well informed. Go on, please.
Then you are no doubt aware that your wife is motoring in Surrey this afternoon. That her secretary and companion, Miss Mannering, is with her, and that your little girl, Jennifer, has accepted an invitation to a children's birthday party. The name of the people is O'Sullivan, and their little girl is a friend of your Jennifer. Now, it's about a quarter of an hour's walk between your house at Wimbledon and the O'Sullivans, and Jennifer left at about 2, meaning to get there at about 2:15. Do you imagine I'm right so far?
Perfectly, I should think. Though where it's all leading, I really can't imagine.
It seems to me, Carruthers, that you are closing your eyes to the obvious.
Really? Well, perhaps you'll go on with your story about Jennifer. She was going round to the O'Sullivan's.
Oh. Oh, there's no more of that story.
Oh. Really? Why not, pray?
Well, you see, she didn't get there.
What did you say?
I said she didn't get there. something happened to her.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What do you mean? What do you mean by what you just said?
We've got her, Carruthers. It's no use kicking. We've got her.
What are you talking about?
You heard what I said, Carruthers. And the gloves are off now. I've been playing with you up to now purely in order to fill you with a wholesome dread of the powers in whose hands you are. But now we're going to get down to business, and to get down to business quick. Now listen to me. Are you listening?
Yes, I am listening.
Good. You thought, did you not, that this was the sort of thing which only happened to the children of rich American gentlemen? Well, you're wrong. Now, the first thing you have to understand is that the first false move you make, you're for it. Do you get that? For it. Good and hard. On the other hand, if you act very promptly and very carefully, there is no reason why all your troubles should not be over in a comparatively short space of time. Do you hear?
Yes, I hear.
Now, it may relieve you to know that the child herself is at the present moment perfectly happy and has not the slightest idea of what is taking place. She is an attractive little girl, and we're great friends already. Are you listening?
Stop talking, will you? I give in. I tell you, I give in. What do you want me to do?
Oh, I wouldn't be too impatient, Carruthers. This is a delicate business, you know. And it requires your very careful cooperation. Your first instructions, I may say, are purely negative.
Negative? What do you mean?
Well, it's more than likely that while you've been talking to me, you've been getting all sorts of ideas into your head. To begin with, you have probably imagined that by pretending to give it to me at once, you are somehow gaining time, and that you'll be able to devise some method of getting your child back and bringing me to destruction. Well, that won't do, Carruthers. I may tell you that at this moment, and for the next few hours, you will be under the closest possible observation, at the closest possible range, both within your own building and outside. Now, that surprises you, I'm sure. But before you've done with us, you are going to have further testimony to the efficiency of our organization. So you won't start writing any messages or making any phone calls or speaking to someone aside, will you? It might be the wrong person. Now, at this juncture, there are certain operations to be done at this end, and I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes rest, or break, as we used to say at school, in which you may care to contemplate the situation as a whole. I shall ring you again very shortly. In the meantime, it is a very hot day, and perhaps you will want some air. If you should happen to go to the window to look down upon the mighty tumult of Fleet Street, so far below, and to reflect upon the vanity of human beings, I may tell you that you will already be under observation from a window opposite. Though, needless to say, you will not be able to observe the observer. Well, goodbye for the moment, and think it out.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Inspector Caldwell of Scotland Yard wanting to speak to you, sir.
What? Scotland Yard? Yes, put him through, at once, quickly.
Hello?
Hello? Who is that? Yes?
Oh, this is Inspector Caldwell speaking. Is that Mr. Carruthers? This is Scotland Yard here, sir.
Yes. What have you phoned up about? What is it?
Well, sir, it's a rather unusual matter. Have you anything to report?
I don't think so. I'd rather you say anything you have to say. Have you anything to report? To report to me?
That's good, Carruthers. Definitely good.
What?
I'm glad to see you're so cautious.
Well, what do you mean? Who's there?
I'm afraid I've been guilty of playing a little deception on you, Carruthers. There is no Inspector Caldwell.
Caldwell of Scotland Yard. That was me speaking. And the inspector was invented simply in order to see how discreet you were decided to be. Well, you passed the test well. And now we can get down to business. As you can well understand, there is only one thing we want from you, and that is money. We want comparatively very little, but because it's so little, we want it quick. That is the whole principle of our little business, of which, I may tell you, you are by no means the first victim. We want, in fact, simply the sum of £1,000, but we want it in less than 2 hours' time. Now, that is easy going for a man in your position, and we mean it to be easy going. You may therefore breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that if you cooperate at once with us, your agony will be short-lived. Are you going to cooperate with us?
Yes. I will do what you say. I will cooperate with you.
Good. When I have rung off, the first thing you will do is to make arrangements by telephone with your bank, your private bank, I mean, in Mount Street, W1, to have ready £1,000 in pound notes for you to call for this afternoon. That can be done without difficulty, can it not?
Yes, that can be done.
Good. Well, that is nothing. You can get your man Macpherson to do it for you, if you like. Your next business will be, of course, to cancel all your engagements for the afternoon. Then, at 3 o'clock exactly, you will walk out of the building. See that you are exact, won't you? You will then turn to the right and walk along Fleet Street until you come to Old Printing Row. About 30 yards down there is a very ordinary and innocent-looking little shop called Maple's Leather Shop. Do you know it?
No, but I can find it.
Good. You will go in there and you will buy a small leather attaché case. It need not, in fact it must not, be more than 3 feet by 2, and it shouldn't cost you more than 10 shillings. Have you got that?
Yes.
You will then walk to the underground station and take a train straight to Bond Street. You will then walk on foot to your bank in Mount Street and collect the money. You will put it into the bag. At the bank itself, you will be telephoned by us again. You will explain to the people there that you are waiting for this and wait until it comes. Is all that clear?
Yes.
Very well. I see that you answer with the readiness and alacrity of an old army man. I am one myself. Well, go ahead and see that you don't slip up. I'm going to ring off. Goodbye for the present.
Goodbye.
Macpherson, come in here at once, will you?
Certainly, sir.
Yes, sir. Are you all right, sir?
Yes, I'm all right. I've just had some rather strange news, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes, sir.
I want some ready cash, Macpherson. It had better come on D account. I want £1,000 in pound notes. Would you phone through and arrange that?
As much as that, sir?
Yes, as much as that.
At Mount Street, you mean, sir? Yes, sir, I can arrange that.
And will you ask them to have it ready this afternoon? At once. I'm going round myself to get it. I'm going almost at once.
Yes, sir, can't I go for you? There's Mr. Raglan at 3, isn't there?
You'll have to put off Mr. Raglan.
Oh, I see, sir. Then there's Sir Philip.
No, I'm afraid I can't see Sir Philip either. And I can't go to the meeting. You've got to get me out of both.
Very good, sir. Are you sure you're not feeling the heat, sir? I've opened all the windows, but it's still ghastly.
No, I'm all right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can I serve you, sir?
Yes, I want a bag, please.
Yes, sir. What sort of bag was it you was wanting, sir, exactly?
Oh, just a small bag. Like an attaché case, you know, the sort of thing.
Oh, yes. Something like this, you mean, sir?
No. What's that you've got over there? Something like that one.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Oh, here we are, sir. Very nice line, these, sir. Beautiful finish there. Is that about the size you're wanting? They also come bigger than this.
No, that'll do. How much is it?
Well, that's Sir 15 shillings, sir. But I've got some others, if you'd
here
like
you
to...
Here you are. That'll be 5 shillings change.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Hot enough, isn't it, sir?
Yes, thank you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Can I oblige you, sir?
Oh, my name's Carruthers, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Carruthers. I'm afraid I didn't recognise you at first. We've got everything ready, Mr. Carruthers. I'm afraid the manager had to go out. If you'd like to come into his room...
Oh, no, if you'll just give it me over the counter, it'll be all right.
Very well, sir. It's all ready. Have you got something to put it in, Mr. Carruthers?
Yes, I've got a bag. Here you are.
Ah. Right. Amazing what a little bag will contain, isn't it? Now... These are all in lots of 50, you see. I don't expect you'll want me to count them out all in ones, will you? The numbers all run on, you see. How do you stand up against this weather, Mr. Carruthers?
It's ghastly, isn't it?
Terrible, terrible. Tea, Mr. Carruthers, that's the only thing. Incessant cups of warm tea without milk, just a little lemon. People doubt that, but it's the only thing.
Yes, I suppose it's very good.
Well, the only thing, Mr. Carruthers, the only thing. Well, that's the lot. I'm sorry Mr. Hilton wasn't in. I expect you'd have liked to have seen him.
No, that's all right. And here's the cheque. Is that okay?
Yes. We mustn't dispense with that little formality, must we? No.
Sorry, sir. Oh,
excuse me a moment.
Yes.
Very fortunate. There's someone wanting you on the phone, Mr. Carruthers. You can take it over here.
Oh, yes. I was expecting that.
Yes, here we are. Mr. Hilton will be sorry not to have seen you. You can take it from this phone, Mr. Carruthers.
Thank you.
If you want a cigarette, there's one there. Yes. Very well. I'll leave you alone then, Mr. Carruthers. Yes. If there's anything you want, I'm just at hand.
Yes, yes, thank you. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who is that?
All right, this is who you think. Have you got all that's required?
Yes, I've got it.
Where are you?
I'm in the manager's office.
And the bag?
It's on the desk in front of me.
Filled with the filthy yet universally desired lucre?
Yes.
Good. About 300 yards away from you, Carruthers, in Brook Street, there is a small and exclusive club for rich and complacent gentlemen, to which you belong. Slangily known as the Mutton Chop. You will now walk round there and give the bag with all it contains, and without any comment whatever, into the hands of the hall porter, merely asking him to look after it for you. You will then go upstairs, upstairs, remember, to the large smoking room on the first floor, and wait until I phone you again. While you wait, you can have some tea if you like. Have you got that?
Yes.
Right. Quick march.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Davis. Will you look after this bag for me?
Yes, sir. I think there's a letter for you, sir.
Oh.
Yes. Here we are, sir.
Oh, thanks. By the way, I'm expecting a phone call. I'll be upstairs, so call me down directly it comes, will you?
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Hello, Carruthers. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you, old boy?
I'm all right. How are you, Hilliard?
Me? I'm in rude health, yes. Come and have a drink. Come and have some tea.
Well, I was going upstairs.
You're upstairs? Why do you want to go upstairs?
Well, no, I must. I'd rather go upstairs.
No. Sit down here. I'll have a talk with you. I'm not butting in, am I?
No, that's all right. Oh, isn't it hot?
Well, everyone says so. I don't feel it. We want 2 teas.
Yes, sir?
Do you want some sandwiches and things?
No, just tea.
Now, what do you think about poor old Blackwood crashing like that?
Well, I don't know what to think about it.
Well, I don't know about you, but I saw it coming about 2 years ago. I was talking to my wife after we'd got back from one of those stupendous dinners he gave. I said, that's not going on much longer. It's just about too good to be true. It's just about... Then there's that short hole. It's the seventh, I think. It is the seventh, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is the seventh.
Well, it's simply outrageous. If you don't drive as straight as a die, you simply lose your ball. I've been most careful.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Carruthers.
Yes, what?
You're wanted on the phone, sir.
All right, I'll come. Excuse me a moment, Hilliard.
Yeah, all right, but come back, old boy. I must tell you the end of this. It's rich.
Yes, I'll come back if I can.
No, sir, the first box, sir.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
This is Carruthers speaking. Here I am.
What do you make the time, Carruthers?
Exactly 5 o'clock. You were a long time.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I hope you had tea while waiting. Is the bag with the porter?
Yes. What now?
Oh, not very much. We're marking time now and want to have another look at you before the next move. How soon can you get down to Piccadilly Circus from there, Carruthers?
In 10 minutes in a taxi, I should imagine.
Well, you'll be given a quarter of an hour and see that you make it in time. Do you know the amusement park there? There is one entrance in Coventry Street and one in the Haymarket.
Yes, I know it.
Well, you are going in there to amuse yourself. You will enter from Coventry Street and walk through to the passage leading into the Haymarket. There you will see various stalls where you may play games for prizes. You will particularly notice one on the right, where you pay threepence and throw darts. There is a huge doll with blue eyes and hideous fat stomach and legs strung up in the middle at the back. You will go to that stall and you will play darts.
Is this a joke?
There is nothing funny about this, Carruthers. When you have finished your game of darts, you will select one of the toys. And if you have not earned it by your skill, you will buy it. Amongst these toys, there is a large selection of small-sized children's cricket bats. You will choose one of these and take it away with you. A child's cricket bat. Do you understand? I wouldn't complain, or I'll make it a doll, which I'm sure you wouldn't like.
Very well.
You will then, looking rather conspicuous with such a thing in your hand, and for our own reasons we desire you to be conspicuous, cross the road, go down into Piccadilly Underground Station, and phone up the porter of the club you are in at the moment. He will, by that time, have a message for you from us, which will give you your next and, if you have still made no false move, I hope, final instructions. Now, just one word about the little girl.
What about her?
She is still perfectly unconscious of the actual state of affairs, and although she is getting a little curious and restive, I can bluff it out with her for some time yet. So you play fair by me, and I'll play fair by you. All right. Get going, my friend.
Yes, sir. Come along, sir. Try your luck, sir. Miss Bob, mister.
Yes, sir. You can have a try, sir. Only threepence, sir.
Yes, I think I'll have a shot.
That's right, sir. How many darts you have?
How many do I get?
7 for threepence, sir. You can have more if you want.
No, that'll be enough.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. A bit out of training, aren't you, sir? I expect it's the heat.
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
Go on, sir. Have another lot. You'll do better now you've warmed up.
No, I don't think I will. I'll buy one of the prizes, though, just to pretend I've won it.
That's right, sir. That's the spirit. Something for a lady, sir.
No, I want something for a child, really.
A child, sir? Yes, sir. Plenty to choose from. What would you like?
What about one of those cricket bat things you've got there? That'll do.
Oh, yes, sir. Nice for a kid. Any particular choice?
No, that one will do. How much is that?
I could let you have that for a bob, sir.
Right. Thanks.
Would you like me to put it in some paper?
No, it's all right as it is, thanks. Thank you.
Much obliged, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Oh, by the way, can you tell me where's the nearest telephone from here?
Just down in the underground, sir. Over the Haymarket and down below.
Ah, thank you.
Hello?
Hello, is that the mutton chop?
Yes, sir.
Is the porter there? I want to speak to the porter.
Yes, sir. Speaking, sir.
Ah, hello, Davis. This is Mr. Carruthers speaking. Has any phone message been left for me there?
Yes, sir. Half a moment, sir. He left it very careful, and I've got it down. Yes, here we are, sir.
Right, go ahead.
He said, sir, if you'd got what was wanted, would you take a train direct from Piccadilly and go to your home in Wimbledon? He said, if you'll go to your study, sir, when you get there, and wait, he'll phone you there. Is that all right, sir? He gave it very careful, sir.
Yes. Is that all?
Yes, sir. Except that he said all the rest can be managed by phone.
Ah, thank you, Davis.
By the way, are you wanting your bag, sir?
What? My bag? Oh. No, no, apparently not. No, not at present. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mary. Is Mrs. Carruthers in?
Yes, sir. She's been in some time. She's in the drawing room, sir.
Ah, thanks.
Hello? Is that you, Andy?
Yes, my dear. Here I am.
Oh, you're back nice and early. I thought you had some awful meeting.
No, that was called off. Well, you're back early, too.
Yes, it was too hot to be born, so I just came back and I've been lying prostrate ever since. Come and sit down and talk to me, darling.
No, dear, I'm just going up to the study. I've got things to do.
You're looking rather dishevelled and pale. Oh, by the way, somebody's been ringing you.
What? Have they? Who?
I don't know exactly who. Somebody.
Ah, well, I'll be off.
All right. You're into dinner tonight, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I'm into dinner.
I asked because I thought I'd let Jennifer stay up and see something of her father. You're neglecting that child, you know.
Am I? She is round at the O'Sullivans, isn't she?
Yes, they've got a birthday party. But she ought to be back any moment now.
Yes, I expect she will. Well, I'll be down as soon as I can.
Very well.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Who's there?
Is that Mr. Carruthers?
Yes, yes.
This is MacPherson speaking. I've been trying to get you some time,
oh,
sir.
Oh, yes. What is it?
Only to tell you about the meeting, sir. I thought you'd like to know. It all went off very well.
Ah, did it?
Yes, sir. I got an inspiration at the last minute and rang up Mr. Ferguson to ask him to take your place. He didn't quite like the idea at first, but when I explained...
Look here, MacPherson. I don't want to hear this now.
Oh.
I'm waiting on this line for a very important message and you're holding it up. Very sorry. Do you mind ringing off? Sorry and all that. Do you mind?
No, sir. That's all right.
Right. Phone me later. I'm very interested in all that, but phone me later. Right? Goodbye. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Who's there?
Is that the Wimbledon Patent Streamline Laundry?
No, you've got the wrong number.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's that? Come in.
Oh, I hope I'm not disturbing you, darling. I thought you might like to see this catalogue of those refrigerators we were talking about.
That's the phone.
Yes, I know. Aren't you going to answer it?
Yes, I must, mustn't I? Look here, darling, you won't think it funny, will you? But there's rather a big deal on, and it's all pretty critical, and I'd rather take this call by myself.
Why? Am I in the way?
No, darling, but you might make me nervous. I've got to be at my best. Please, believe me. Go downstairs. I shan't be long. Be quick, or they'll ring off.
All right, I'm going. But I think you're most secretive.
No, I'm not. I'll explain later.
All right.
I won't be long. Hello?
Hello?
Who is that? This is Carruthers.
Are you in your study?
Yes.
Alone?
Yes.
Good. Well, Carruthers, you're for it now.
What do you mean? Where is my little girl?
Ah, that is a problem that lies in the future. We are now, for just a few moments, going to make a little excursion into the past. Can you think back as far as your school days at Haringham?
What are you getting at?
A smallish public school in the country, with not too much supervision of the boys out of working hours. Do you happen to remember a boy of the name of Stevens? He was junior to you.
Yes, I remember Stevens. What about him?
Can you remember how you used to torture that boy, Carruthers?
Torture him?
Yes. Torture him. Well, this is Stevens speaking, and now he is torturing you.
Stevens? What? Are you mad?
Mad? Well, that's rather interesting. Certainly my mind was somewhat warped in my early formative years.
Listen to me.
On the contrary, you listen to me. Can you remember it as clearly as I can, Carruthers? Can you remember that long dormitory every night when the lights were out? You at the top, I at the bottom. Can you remember the long, solemn rituals, Carruthers, organized by you, and of which young Stevens was the victim?
Where is my daughter?
Young Stevens was a dirty little funk, wasn't he, Carruthers? And he had to have his funk beaten out of him. Oh, and he was always drawing or reading or something equally indecent. And that had to be beaten out of him, too. But funk was the great thing.
Listen to me!
I don't believe you had an idle moment in those 3 years at that school which you did not devote to making my life a thing of terror and anguish, and to inciting all the other members of that little world against me. Can't you remember the Stevens rags and the Stevens hunts, as they were called, and the various trials at which I was sentenced for letting down the school or letting down my side?
But that was school!
There was just one occasion when you went too far, Carruthers, and what you are getting now is its result. And that happens to concern so insignificant a thing as a certain box of oil paints which I had saved up to buy for 3 terms. I had pathetic little boy's dreams of being a great painter in those days, Carruthers, and that box of oils meant all my life. I had that box for 2 days. On the 3rd day, the box was gone. But the contents of every tube were squeezed out over my entire possessions at the bottom of my locker. It was at that moment that I made up my mind that I'd get back on you if I waited my whole life to do it.
Let's try and talk.
No, I am doing the talking now, Carruthers. And I'm holding over you something even more terrible than the thing you held over me. You used to threaten and thrash me, you will remember, with a rather curious implement. It was a small, child-sized cricket bat. It had been hanging about the school gym for years, and it looked extraordinarily like the one you purchased in Piccadilly about an hour ago. It was a little bat like that, which was the symbol of everything which blackened my mind in the years which, but for you, might have been the brightest in my life. Well, that symbol has come back on you, Carruthers, after all this time, and it's going to remind you all your life that it was I who victimized you in the end, and that it was you, at the last, who turned out the prize classic funk of all time. Are you listening?
Yes, I am listening.
Now,
if you'll just...
Listen! It has been a very hot day. And I think you've had about enough. For 4 hours, I have put you through it as you have never been put through it before. I've not only revenged myself personally on you, I have also, just for once, symbolically taken revenge for all those who were like me against all those who were like you.
But
revenge for all the little boys in all the schools who have ever lain awake in terror or cried themselves to sleep in the dark of dormitories. Now, all right, Carruthers, that will be all, as you used to say to me.
What do you mean, that will be all?
Where is my daughter?
I have never so much as spoken to your daughter.
What?
Your little girl left for the birthday party exactly as she was supposed to, I have no doubt. And she no doubt arrived there, and she is no doubt there still, stuffing herself with birthday cakes. You simply lost your nerve, showed no fight, made not a single attempt to verify my statements, and have been bluffed by a bogey voice all the afternoon. A voice which has made you perform every conceivable idiotic antic all over the town. If you seek any legal redress for this, I may at once tell you there is none. And that if you try it on, I am as rich and as powerful as you are. But you won't do a thing. You'll keep it dark for the rest of your life. Because if the story ever got out, you would look exactly what you are. A coward and a fool. You had better go and collect that £1,000 from the porter of your club. I hope it's still safe. When your little girl comes home, you can give her that bat if you like, but I'd rather you put it in a glass case. Thank you for an admirable afternoon. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello!
Hello?
Hello. Is that the O'Sullivan house?
Yes, this is Mrs. O'Sullivan.
Oh, I'm sorry to bother you, Mrs. O'Sullivan, but is my Jennifer round there with you?
Yes, I imagine so. Do you want her?
Has she been there all the afternoon?
She has. We've had a party.
Yes, I know. You're sure she's still there?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I can see her from the window now. They're all in their bathing suits and playing with a hose. Oh, isn't this heat awful? She's very wet. But shall I call her in?
No, that's all right. I just wanted to know where she was. Thank you, Mrs. O'Sullivan. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Hello. Excuse me, but is that the Wimbledon Patent Streamline Laundry?
No, I'm afraid it is not.
Oh, dear. Then I've got it wrong again. Aren't they silly, these exchanges? And it's so hot too, isn't it? Oh, dear.
Yes, isn't it?
In Money with Menaces, by Patrick Hamilton, Andrew Carruthers was played by Stephen Thorne, and Mr. Poland by David Collings. McPherson, Joe Dunlop, Miss Ruff and the girl at the dart stall, Rachel Atkins, the bank clerk and the commissionaire, Ben Crowe, Mrs. Carruthers, Gwyneth Powell, and Hilliard, Johan Meredith. Money with Menaces was a peer production for BBC Radio 4, directed by Richard Workley.